What y'all been into? What y'all been doing? What have y'all been reading? What's the vibes? What are we feeling? What have we been getting into? What's going on? What's tea, girl or guy? What's tea? Y'all, we have so much to catch up on. Like, I missed y'all, and I want to first apologize to y'all because I know y'all are wondering, Alicia, where have you been? Why haven't you been on your podcast? Why haven't you been on your Zoom call, girl? Like, what's going on? And I'm sorry, y'all. Charge it to my head, not my heart. Okay? I've just been recovering. I've been going through a state of recovery. I've been going through a state of living. As y'all can see, we are in a new environment. Okay? We are in a new atmosphere. We are in a new setting. Are y'all seeing it? Are y'all seeing it? Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Are y'all catching it? I don't know, but we'll talk about it later, okay? We'll talk about it later because that's not what we're here for. And also, y'all stay tuned for the video. I'm going to get back into my content era, okay, and posting what I'm supposed to on YouTube and whatnot. So if y'all are wondering, like, what's been going on in life, I'm going to post. I'm going to let y'all know. We're going to get into it. But right now, we're here for this word, y'all. We're here for this word. We have so much to talk about. As you can tell from the title of this episode, we are going to be talking about running back to your first love. And this has nothing to do about a boy. This has nothing to do about a girl. This has nothing to do about basketball, football, sports. This has nothing to do about shopping. This has nothing to do about whatever you think that is. This is about running back to God, the person who loved you first. So if I had like a subtitle, it would be how to run back to what first loved you and why you should believe and trust in God. But I'm going to give a disclaimer, y'all, and tell y'all, like, life has been lifing. And I know I say that, it seems like I say that every time I get on here, but genuinely, I've been going because I've just been going through life. Like, and the Lord had to allow me to pause. I feel like I had to rest, take a break, because my mental was just everywhere. And after a while of like being off, I was able to rest. I was able to get more knowledge. I was able to learn more about myself, y'all, if I'm being honest. Like, just being away from off this podcast. But now the Lord is like calling me to be faithful, calling me to come back, calling me to like give it, spread it, show it, live it, you know, and get back on my Zoom call with y'all. But honestly, he's just been shaping me, molding me, like shifting me in every way, every season, every, I really just can't explain it. Like, he's been doing something internal that doesn't explain why I've been gone. But like I said, like, the Lord has also shown me how to come on here and speak to y'all in a different manner. Like, I want this to be a safe place. And also, I just have this vision, right, about how I want Water by God to go. As far as like not only this just being a podcast, but this being like a community, a safe place for y'all to come and comment, or for y'all to be able to, for us to make a big group chat or whatever the case is. But it's so much that God has in store, y'all. But like I said, I've taken the time to be away off this podcast, I've genuinely been taking the time to just search myself, allow God to search my heart, allow God to change some things, allow God to change the way I speak, change the way I walk, change the way I talk. Not that it was just so bad, but I really believe that I got into like a funk, like a slump, and I was just going with the motion of things. And like, I kind of got discouraged just a little bit because I'm like, God, I feel like I'm pouring, and I'm not seeing like what you have for me coming to pass. That's just me being transparent. That's why I'm going on this little rant right now, because I want y'all to know, like, you're going to go through seasons where you get discouraged because you feel like you're putting in the effort, but the things that you want from God aren't coming to pass. But it's genuinely because God is trying to do something within you before he gives you what you're looking or searching for. He wants to shape and mold you, the inside of you first before the outside is manifested or shown. Okay, but let's go ahead and get into this word, y'all, because I'm so excited. I just know God is gonna move, and y'all know how we get down. But to the people that are new to this podcast, welcome. I'm your host, Alicia Arnold. This is a safe place for you to be watered on by God so we can water on others. That is the vision. That is the goal. Just, you know, being poured on so that we can pour on others. So welcome. I welcome y'all to this community. And if you're not new, welcome back. I pray that we stay locked in, girl or guy or whoever is watching, whoever is behind this camera. Y'all know how we get down. We're going to go ahead and get into prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to meet again electronically. We thank you for allowing us to meet in your presence. Father, I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for giving me such a space to, Lord God, speak and give my gift and show my gift, Lord God, that you have blessed me with, Father. I just pray your Holy Spirit over this podcast, Father. I pray whoever is watching, whoever is listening, that you, Lord God, bless their ears and bless their eyes. Father, your word said that some were able to hear but not hear. Some were able to see but not see, Father. And I pray that that's not these people that are watching or listening, Father. Let them hear. Let them have open ears to hear what you have to say to your church, Lord God. Let them have open ears, Lord God, and open heart to receive whatever it is that you have for them, Father. Holy Spirit, rest on this podcast. I welcome you, Lord God. I pray that you go into their hearts and change their lives, Father. Let them lean not on their own understanding about anything that is getting ready to be said, Father. Hide me behind the cross, Father. Hide my tongue behind the cross, Father, that I will say nothing that's not like you. But I just thank you, Lord God. Let peace rest on this podcast. Let love rest on this, Lord God, mic. Lord God, let everything that have breath praise you on today, Father. You're just so worthy, and we appreciate you. We thank you. We love you, Father. We rebuke the lies of the enemy and the devil that comes to steal, Lord God, the words out of your mouth, Father, that comes to destroy the words out of your mouth, Father. We rebuke him. He is a liar, Lord God, and the truth has never been in him, Father. So we ask, Lord God, that you, Lord God, take away every distraction, Lord God, from your people that is hindering them from receiving or listening, Father. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen, amen, amen. So, y'all bear with me, y'all, because it's been a minute since I've done this. It's not like it's new or anything, but I've gotten out of routine, obviously, of speaking to a camera and talking on a podcast. So, y'all bear with me, but let's go ahead and jump into it. I have a few scriptures for you all on today. We're going to start with Revelation chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. I'm going to be coming from many different areas. And it says, you have patience and have suffered. New Century Version, y'all. I'm sorry. You have patience and have suffered troubles for my name and have not given up. But I have this against you. You have left the love you had in the beginning. So remember where you were before you fell. Change your hearts and do what you did at first. If you do not change, I will come to you and will take away your lampstand from its place. So this is for mainly because I'm going to touch the people that like had a relationship with God. Maybe they fell off. Maybe you've been discouraged like I was, and you kind of just started drifting away, not from God, but like from being consistency. And so I'm going to speak towards those type of people, and I'm also going to speak towards the people that never knew God, that don't understand God, that may question like, well, why is he my first love? Why is it that I have to go to him? Maybe you're honestly in confusion as to who God is and why we should love him and why he offered love first. But first, we're going to start, like I said, with the people that you started off strong. You started off like, okay, yeah, God, this is who I want to be with for the rest of my life. I want to be with you. I want you to shape and mold me. I want you to fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I need your power. Maybe you felt like you were so on fire for God, and then all of a sudden, like, things started happening, life started changing, you started drifting, you stopped reading your word, you stopped praying like you should. So this is what that scripture is like speaking to what I believe is speaking to what I wanted it to speak to towards you all. You have patience and have suffered troubles for my name and have not given up. And so many times we feel like we've suffered, we've gone through all these different things, but we're starting to not see God because of our suffering. But God is saying, but I have this against you. You have left the love you had in the beginning. And for those that are watching, if you see me looking, y'all know how I get down. I have to go back and refer to my notes so I don't get sidetracked. But when it talks about, you know, coming back to what you first knew, you knew that feeling, what it was like when you first went to God. You have to remember what you first did. Remember how you prayed, how much you prayed, how much you fasted, how much what you did. It's like almost taking a test. You knew exactly how many hours you needed to study. You knew exactly the material, how much of the material you needed to study to pass the test. And so when you take your next test, you have to know the same thing, the same concept of what you did then to do. Or it's just like cooking, y'all. You may be cooking pasta, or you may be cooking some type of chicken or whatever the case is, but for that same recipe to come out how it did the last time, you have to remember exactly what you did to get that same thing. If not, do more, do better, so that it comes out even better. But a lot of times, like, as we go through problems and we go through life and we go through tribulations, we tend to forget what we did. We tend to forget what brought us out the first time. But God is saying, go back to the ways. And what I thought of is, go back to, like, how a child thinks, okay? Because the Lord loves children. The Lord said, like, you know, basically, don't neglect children. Like, don't do them just any type of way, because their minds are pure. They don't have no thought of just doing wrong. They don't have a thought of just betrayal, right? As you get older, that's what happens. But if you just really love God, you got to go back to the thought and the mentality of a child and say, God, before I had any of these problems, I was blameless. Before I had any of these problems, I was blameless. I was pure. I just loved you. I adored you. Because I think about my children that I work with at my job, and I'm like, God, they mention you and they don't fully understand you, but they know that you exist. They know that you are real. They know that you've done things that the adults know, but yet, like, they don't sit and meditate and marinate on, God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why did that happen? They don't sit and meditate on, God, you allow this person to talk to me like this. God, you allow this person to hurt me like that. God, you. They don't even meditate on how their parents are taking care of them. Children, young children, they don't think about all that, because they genuinely just, their minds are pure. And God is saying, go back to that. Stop worrying about what you can't see. Stop worrying about what you don't feel. Stop worrying about what you don't know. It's not up for you to know. It's just up to you to have a pure mind, honestly, to just go back to what you first knew, what brought you out the first time. And what I wrote down was, God is not asking for people to return back to church. He's asking for you to return back to Him. A lot of times we've been church hurt, or we've been some type of hurt by men, hurt by church, hurt by parents, hurt by family, hurt by relationships, hurt by all these different things. And God is not calling you back to that relationship. God is not calling you back to that church. God is not calling you back to that parent, that family, that job. A lot of times it's not that He's calling that to come back to you, because we think that it takes, oh, you have to do this. Like, God wants you to go back to what hurt you. No, it's not that. It's the fact that God wants you to come to Him. God wants you to return back to Him. He's not asking for you to go out your way to go back to what would hurt you, go back to what would destroy you. He's simply just asking, because a lot of people, they've turned away from their belief. They've turned away from God. They've turned away from their love for God, or their joy for God, or their desire, their strong desire to serve the Lord, because they feel like, God, I'm hurt. I can't get out of this. But God is saying, I'm not calling you to just be joyful. I'm not calling you to just get up and just change and be happy. I'm calling for you to just come to me. And when you come to me, everything else will be released. The weight will be released off your shoulders. But it's the fact that we can't even acknowledge Him as the person that loved us first. And when we understand that God loved us, we won't be going back to the things that we felt like were hurting us. God wants our belief to go back to what God wants our belief to go back to that before we got hurt and involved in sin and caught in the lies of the enemy. And like I said, children don't worry about the presence of God. They just trust that he's there. A lot of times we become comfortable in our stagnation. We become comfortable in not moving. And so if we go back to the scripture, y'all bear with me. If we go back to the scripture, it says, so remember where you were before you fell. Change your hearts and do what you did at first. If you do not change, I will come to you and will take away your lampstand from its place. And what I got from that is we get so lackadaisical. We become comfortable in not praying, not fasting, because we feel like, yes, I can come back to God. And when I'm ready, I can come back to him. But God is saying, no, change immediately. Like, don't harden your heart. Don't think that you have time to just sit and rest in your laziness or idleness, because you have to genuinely get up and change. Get up and do something about it. Get up and shift the atmosphere. You're waiting for the atmosphere to shift, but it's not going to shift until you shift it. Until the God that's in you shifts it. And so God is saying, if you don't change, I'm going to come to you and take your lampstand from its place. And what is a lampstand, right? It's something that carries light. And God is saying, you're losing your purpose. You're losing what I've called for you to carry. And if you can't carry that, then your purpose is going. If the salt loses its taste, how can it be made salty again? This is Bible all day. So if you aren't showing the light that I've given for you to show, what's the purpose in the lampstand? I have to take that. I have to remove it from up under you, because I've given you, God has given some of us positions. God has given some of us high places. God has given some of us authority. God has given some of us gifts. God has given some of us titles. Whatever that looks like for you, God has given it to you. But because you're letting your light go out, because you're being inconsistent, because you're not praying like you should, fasting like you should, because maybe you feel like this gift is always going to be in me. Yes, it is. But your purpose, your calling, your obedience, you don't want God to strip that from you because of your disobedience. And sometimes disobedience is not that you're doing against what God has like caught. Okay, for example, it's not that you're sinning. Sometimes disobedience is not that you're sinning, but it's that you're doing nothing at all. And if you're doing nothing at all, then you're not being purposeful. And God has to strip the light that you thought you had when it wasn't showing to begin with. How can God see? How can other people see the God that's in you if your light is turned off? They're not going to be able to see it. How will they know what God tastes like if you've lost your salt? You've lost what other people need to know God. You've lost what other people need to get a taste or a hint of what God tastes or feels or sounds like. And we've become lackadaisical, so now we've conformed to the patterns of this world. So now we have a hint of sexual immorality, a hint of drunkenness, a hint of masturbation, a hint of all these different things, a hint of gossip, a hint of all these different things that are taking our light, stripping our light, taking the things that we don't need in our life. And God is saying, okay, if you want to add all these things, cool, but you won't have your light. I'm sorry. And it's not because he doesn't love us, but it's because he needs us to first love him first. And when you love him first, you'll do everything to take care of the relationship that he has given to you to take care of. Like, it's not just the blessings. If we understand that God himself is a blessing, then we'll take care of that blessing itself. And God will show us what comes with taking care of the main blessing, right? Okay, so the next scripture I have for you is Isaiah 46. And I'm going to read that whole thing because it's so good. So y'all bear with me. But it says, Baal and Nebo bow down. Their idols are carried by animals. The statues are only heavy loads that must be carried. They only make people tired. These guys will all bow down. They cannot save themselves, but will all be carried away like prisoners. Family of Jacob, listen to me. All you people from Israel who are still alive, listen. God is saying, listen. If you're still alive, listen. If you still have breath in your body, listen. If you still have blood flowing in your veins, listen. If you still have a roof over your head, matter of fact, scratch the roof. If you still have breath in your body, let everything that have breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that have breath, listen. He's saying, listen, okay? I have carried you since you were born. I have taken care of you from your birth. He's taking care of us from our birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you and will take care of you. I will carry you and save you. And what I thought about when it came to this, when he said, you know, even when you are old, I will be the same. If you think about it, you can think that your parents love you, right? Because some of us may have like a beautiful relationship. And I'm going to tap on the people that don't have a beautiful relationship with their parents. But some of us, like, we idolize our parents. We cling to our parents. And that love that you think is love, you got to understand. God is saying, I knew you before you knew your mother or your father. I knew you. I loved you before you knew your mother or your father. I loved you before they even loved you. And even when they die, I'm still gonna love you. Because who do you know? Who do you know that can love you before your parents knew you and after your parents are gone? So yes, that love may be there from your parents, but God is saying, I will take care of you. I've taken care of you from your birth. I will take care of you when you're old. And your parents are not going to be there to see you grow old with gray hair, because obviously, like, life goes on. And maybe they may be able to, granted, they may be able to. But after a while, when they've passed and they've gone, then what? God is still going to be there. He loved you first. Your parents did not love you first. Man did not love you first. God loved you first. He placed you in this earth. Okay, so even when you're old, okay, can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me or like me. Some people are rich with gold and weigh their silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. Then they bow down and worship it. They put it on their shoulders and carry it. What are you putting on your shoulders and carrying it? What are you placing on your shoulders that God never intended you to place? Because you call it love, you call it respect, you call it obedience. But God is saying, it's not obedience if you don't love me first. It's not obedience of you going to that job if you don't love me more than you love that job. Love me first. It's not obedience if you're being obedient to your parents, but you're praising your parents more than you praise me. It's not obedience if, you know, you're just going with the flow of life and you're just thinking that you're not sinning, but you're still not doing enough to sit in the presence of God and love him, love on him, love with him. Because life, yes, life can be lived correctly. Like, you may think that, okay, I'm doing all the right things. I'm spreading the word. Maybe I'm giving. Maybe I'm paying my tithes. Maybe I'm going to church every Sunday. But it's like, at the end of the day, is your love for God greater than anything on this earth? And I'm not saying, like, we're supposed to be perfect. I'm not saying that I'm like, better or whatever the case is. I'm saying, like, we all should be striving. We all should be striving to make God our first love, because he literally loved us. But we're gonna get into the definition of a first love anyway. Let me continue reading. People may yell at it, but it cannot answer. It cannot save them from their troubles. Let me go back. They set it in its place and there it stands. It's talking about the little G-O-D. It cannot move from its place. People may yell at it, but it cannot answer. It cannot save them from their troubles. And what I realized is, no matter how far you go away from God, no matter what you start loving, no matter what you start coming in agreement with, because if you're coming in agreement with all these different things, nothing can save you from your troubles. Drinking cannot save you from your troubles. Fornication cannot save you from your troubles. Idleness cannot save you from your troubles. Laziness cannot save you from your troubles. Your phone, AI, cannot save you. ChatGPT cannot save you from your troubles. As much as we think it can, when you call on ChatGPT, ChatGPT can't pay your bills for you. ChatGPT can't feed you. ChatGPT can't put breath in your lungs. ChatGPT doesn't keep your blood flowing. ChatGPT can't do those things. AI can't do those things for you. Only God can. And that is what you call love. Because we think like we're loving God correctly, when really it's the thought. It's the way that your thought and your heart posture has to be. to understand that God first loved us. So, remember this and do not forget it. Think about these things. You who turn against God, don't turn against God, because that is the most dangerous thing we can do, y'all. Like, and even like turn against God doesn't always mean just like blaspheming him. But what about genuinely just not doing anything? I'm putting emphasis on not doing anything because I just came out of a state of not doing anything. Like, I thought it was okay, but I realized that I was becoming more and more and more lackadaisical, and I started resting in not doing enough. And at that moment, it looks like it's okay, but when God does finally start giving you what you want, you'll realize, oh, I wasn't prepared. Like, when you start trying to make these things come to you, the blessings that you want, when you start putting yourself in it, you'll realize, oh, God, my mind was not right for this. My heart was not right for this. God, if I would have just prepped a little bit longer, if you would have kept me in that heat a little bit longer, if you would have kept me in that fire a little bit longer, I would have been okay. I would have been made ready. I would have been made whole. Remember what happened long ago. Remember that I am God. There is no other God. I am God. There is no one like me. From the beginning, I told you what would happen in the end. A long time ago, I told you things that have not yet happened. When I plan something, it happens. What I want to do, I will do. I am calling a man from the east to carry out my plan. He will come like a hawk from a country far away. I will make what I have said come true. I will do what I have planned. Listen to me, you stubborn people who are far from what is right. Far from what is right. I will soon do the things that are right. I will bring salvation soon. I will save Jerusalem and bring glory to Israel. God is saying, what you want, he is soon going to do it. He is soon going to bring you your salvation. He didn't miss that part, because yes, you want what you want, but he's still going to bring you your salvation. He's still going to bring you your deliverance. He's still going to give you what you need to hold what you want. Because how can we get what we want and what we desire if you don't have what you need internally? If your heart posture is not right to receive it. But God is saying, don't forget these things. I am going to bring to pass everything that needs to brought. I'm going to give to you what you desire. But it takes time. It takes being made whole. So we go through trials because God wants us to return to him. Even if you never knew him, he wants you to know the maker. He wants you to know who made you. The person who sent his son to die for you before anyone else said they would die for you. A lot of times we think like, oh, this person got my back. This person is raw. This person is my everything. This person, I know if I get into it, this person coming through, swerving. Okay, but no, that's not the case. That's not who loved you first. We can call on our parents. Maybe some of you got that crazy aunt. I don't know. Whoever that person is for you, your spouse, your boy, your girl, your friend, your bestie, whatever that looks like, your hitter, whoever that looks like, y'all, God is saying that's not your first love. That's not, like, I sent somebody before these people even were born. I sent somebody to die for you. I sent Jesus to die before you even thought of, in your mind, somebody who could die for you. Before you even knew titles, before you even placed a title on somebody else, I sent somebody who carried that title, who fulfilled that title as being the one and only Jesus Christ, the Savior, period. God is saying, that is why I'm your first love. I did that, says the Lord. He did that. A God who sits up high and looks down low, he did that. He created love. God wants you to know the person that literally takes care of you, that literally places breath in your body. Jesus was the first to do it all. He died for your sins to be forgiven. He died so you could be taken care of. He died so you can know what love is. He died so you can know what hope is. He died so you can have more wisdom, more discernment, to know that you are not bound by the things that you do, but you are not supposed to keep living in the things that you're doing. Because that causes death. That brings death. And a lot of times we go through things simply because God wants to bring us out of what we are doing. He wants to bring us out so that he can bring us to salvation. And once he brings us to salvation, he can bring us into what we want to walk into. He can bring us into being restored, everything around us being restored. And so I want to touch on the fact that many people say like the Bible is written by man, but your life is not written by man. Yes, the Bible is written by man, but your life is not written by man. Your life is literally a replica of what people in the Bible went through. So we look at the Bible for advice. We look at the Bible for help because we are going through the same things. Yes, they were written by man, but this life that we're living, those feet that you're using to walk, that mouth that you're using to talk, is not written. It's being held. Held in the hands of the Almighty God. And it's so dangerous to not realize and understand who it is being held by. You can't think that your life is not being held by one person. You can't think that your life is not being controlled by one person. And we're not talking about the government. How can man control man? How can a snake control a snake? How can dust be ruled over dust? How can dust rule over dust? We're dust. Thus we were brought into this world and thus we're going to return. And it's just that simple. But you have to know there's a God who controls the very way that you blink, the very way that you swallow, the very way that you move, the very way that you walk, the very way that you talk. It all makes sense. God wants you to know that person. He wants you to know him for that reason. Because he loved you so much to say, I'm going to place some blood. I'm going to make this body warm and give them life and life more abundantly for them to know who I am, that I am who I say that I am. Not for what I have, not for what I can do, but because I first loved you, says the Lord. God wants us to know him for that reason. The Bible is literally telling us why the Lord is our first love. Some have not returned to their first love because they put God in the same placeholder as their parents. Yes, guys, this kind of, when the Lord places on my heart, this kind of shocked me but it gave me such a big revelation that a lot of times, a lot of us are placing God in the placeholder of our parents. And that is why we disrespect him. That is why we don't love him like we're supposed to. That is why our love for our parents may be greater than our love for him. A parent carried us all that time. And so some of us think that because, yes, they carried us for 9 months. Yes, a mother carried us for 9 months. But at the end of the day, when your parent abandons you, you cannot think that God is going to abandon you. God is not going to abandon you when your parents abandon you because God is not that person. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, yes, some of you may be going through abandonment issues. Some of you may be feeling like your parents are abandoning you. Some of you may be feeling like you're going through rejection and God is saying, I'm not rejection. You may be being rejected from a church. You may be being rejected from a job. You may be being rejected from your family, your loved ones, from a spouse, from whoever. But God is saying, I am not the spirit of rejection. I am peace. I am love. I am discipline. I give you a rod and staff that comforts you so that you may know that I am with you. When you go through correction, when you go through hard times, when you go through trials, I am with you. I am the Lord that placed that green pasture in front of you and made you sit there and wait. I'm the one that feeds you. I'm the one that takes care of you. God is saying, I am not your parent. I am not going to leave you nor forsake you. But some of us have placed him in that mentality. In our minds, we have placed God in that manner. So let's talk about the definition of a first love. God loved you so much that he brought you into existence and then had purpose before you even had a parent to carry you. So yes, you may be going through rejection. Yes, you may be feeling like, you know, my parents don't love me, or my parents are not showing the love that I desire from them, or whatever that feels like. And you may be feeling like you're genuinely just not as close to your parents as you want to be. But God is saying, before I even picked out who was going to be your parent, I had purpose for you. I had plans for you. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, says the Lord. My purpose is not predicted by your parent. My purpose for you, says the Lord, is not predicted by your parent. Your parent was sent from me to carry you and to love you, but I loved you first. Therefore, I gave you purpose. I gave your parent purpose to carry you. What your parent carried was because that purpose came from me. What your future spouse is going to carry is because that purpose came from me, says the Lord. What your future job is carrying for you is because that purpose came from me, says the Lord. The blessing that God gives you comes from him because he first loved you. And he just wants you, before you desire or get the intent to love anything else, God is saying, love me first, because what is going to carry you into that next season is me. It's God. It's God. Genuinely, it's God. So how can you love anything else if you don't know the maker of love? It's not going to work. The definition of love. Your first love is not what you loved first, but what first loved you. I'm going to say it again. Your first love is not what you loved first, but what first loved you. Because a lot of times we've been placing titles on things that we have no business placing them on. We think that we can't love God because we don't love him. We think that God is not our first love because we don't love him first. When God is saying, I loved you first, so I placed you on this earth. It doesn't take us having to feel a certain type of love to love God first. But what a first love is when God, like, imagine the person who made love, the person who made love is saying, I just want you to love me back. I am your first love. Your first love, your literal first love, the person that first loved you. It does not take you loving something first because you had no idea what love was. We have to trust the creator of love and return to him because he was the first to know love, the first to show love, the first to fulfill love. He is the first in love and the last in love. Without him, there would be no measurement of love. Let that sink in your mind. Without him, you would have no idea on how to love. You wouldn't know what love is. You wouldn't know what love looks like. You wouldn't know. You think that you just all of a sudden got these good feelings in you? God gave you those emotions to feel what love feels like. Like for you to say, oh, I love this. For you to vow to somebody on marriage, on a wedding day, you have to know a feeling inside of you, but that feeling is deceitful. That's not even what love truly is, okay? You have to know in your mind what love is. That love is God. He's saying it doesn't take you to fully know what love is anyway, but I am the measure of love, literally. I made love. And when we can go back to the maker of love, then we finally understand to run back to our first love. How can you love sin before even knowing who created love? For you to say, I just love sex. I just love drinking. I just love smoking. I just love fornicating. I just love going back to that sneaky link. I just love eating. I just love, like, we just take that love word very far. But at the end of the day, like, how do you know what love feels like? What does that feel like? What is that feeling? When you say something out of your mouth, what is that feeling? When you say that over and over again, that you love something, what exactly are you feeling? There is no feeling. There is no true feeling like God. Because how would you have that feeling without God? It doesn't make sense. And God is saying, when you learn that I gave you all these things, you will come back to the person who first loved you, who placed this within you. God gave you a choice to love sin. The person that gave you a choice to do what you want to do, that is love. You claim you love sin, but the person who allowed you to have that choice, that is what you call love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because God first loved us. So, if you don't have any other reason to love, because I know like some unbelievers may be watching, or some of you may be feeling like why should I, why? What's so serious? What? And maybe you've never even thought about this, but when I was, you know, typing all of this and really like digging, I'm like, why do we need to love God anyways? Like, let's like, yes, we say we love God, but what's the real reason? But it's because genuinely God first loved us. If God did not love us, he would not have shown grace and mercy to keep us here on this earth to get a chance to everlasting life due to our disobedience. That is love. Love is him getting rid of all our wrongdoings and not giving us what we deserve. Let's not forget we deserve death. Let's not forget we deserve because we think we're like these perfect people, but we don't deserve anything that we get. But his love and mercy and grace for us literally is love. That is why he first loved us. He is saving us daily on this earth. God is in control of our life. If he did not love us, we would have been taken away the chance to live for eternity. When he said, I'm going to send Jesus for the sake of their sins, he did not have to do that. He did not have to give that to us. But he said he loves us. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That you will not perish, that I will not perish, that your family members will not perish. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you realize if God did not love us, he could have at any moment say, okay, you don't deserve that. I'm not giving you eternity. Do you realize that he had purpose and plan for you? So at any moment, God could have said, when you was in your mother's womb, later on when he turns about 22, I understand he's going to turn away from me. So I'm going to take his life right now. Do you understand that is our maker that we could have been dealing with? But God is not like that, because God is the God of love. God first loved you. Do you understand that God loved you so much while you was in your mother's womb, while you thought that your mother was loving you more than anybody in the whole wide world? God could have said, okay, I see when he turns 30, when she turns 30, she's going to take a life. So I'm going to take her life right now so she don't even take that life. But God said, no, I understand when she turns 30, she's going to fornicate. She's going to sin. She's going to have sex before marriage. But I'm still going to give her grace and mercy to know who I am so she can feel my love. So I'm going to let her live all the way to 30 and some for her to not only have the choice to do it, but once she do it, I'm going to give her still the choice of eternal life. Do our minds are not wrapping around that thought. When you sinned yesterday, if he did not love you, his grace and mercy would have ran out and said, you know what? I think because I'm God, I'm going to take her life just like this. I'm going to take his life just like this. But because our first love first loved us, he said, I'm going to show you what love is. I'm going to show you what love does. Love does not deserve. I mean, we do not deserve God's love. But yeah, he loves us anyway because he first created love. He know what love is supposed. He is the example of love. He is love. And we are supposed to be showing that to other people. We are supposed to be giving that to other people. But we are not supposed to be putting people and things above how God loves us. We are not supposed to be putting our job. Your job cannot save you from destruction. Your job cannot save you from the pit of hell. But the person who sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins loves you. On the day of judgment, your job cannot save you. On the day of judgment, all these designer things and materialistic things cannot save you. You cannot run to them. We just read about other GODs, small GODs. Those things cannot save you no matter how much you cry out to them. No matter how much you cry out to your gods. Your little GODs. No matter how much you cry out to that man, to that girl. No matter how much you cry out to your parents. No matter how much you cry out to your job about how much you're not getting paid. No matter how much you cry out to social media about how many followers you have, about how many people or likes you need, about how much money you need, how much money you want, about your goals and your dreams and your desires. No matter how much you cry out to fornication, no matter how much you cry out to God about wanting marriage, about wanting a man, about wanting a woman, those things cannot save you. Animals cannot save you. No matter how much you love that dog, that cat, whatever you have, whatever you're putting in the place of your first love, the person that first loved you, those things cannot save you. Those things cannot help you at all. But only the love of God is what's going to save you. Nothing. The Bible says, who can separate you from the love? Who can separate you from the love? Nothing and no one can separate you from the love. God loved you so much that he knew that you were going to make your bed in hell. He still loved you. My God, I don't know who needs to hear this. But God loved you so much, he knew that you were going to decide to turn it over to witchcraft. Yet he still loved you. He still allowed you to be born. He knew that you were going to turn against him. He knew that you were going to say, oh, whatever you think about God, whatever you are thinking, whatever you're desiring. He knew. God knows everything. He knew you were going to be a thief. He knew you were going to cause destruction. He knew you were was gonna gossip about each and every last person around you. He knew that. Yet he said, because back in the Old Testament, they was dropping dead left and right. But he said, I'm going to send my one and only son in the pardon of your sins so that you can have eternal life. That is what you call love. That is love. God said, I knew you were going to backslide. I knew you weren't going to read your Bible. I knew you weren't going to pray. I knew you didn't even know what prayer was. I knew you didn't know me. But because I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, before you even thought of plans and purpose, it is the Lord's plan and purpose that will prevail, first of all. But before any of that, I knew you and I loved you first. And all you got to do is come back to me, says the Lord. That's all God wants from us, is to come back to him. Be obedient. And so God is not trying to be in control. God wants to be in control of our life, but he is not trying to control us, which is why we have emotions, we have feelings, we have choices. If he did not love us, he would take that choice of eternity away from us. He would not have given us the commandments to live by. He gives us something to study and to look forward to. He did not give it to us because he just wants to control. He did not give us all these commandments to just rule over us and just say, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do that, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do that. If you don't, you're gonna die, you're gonna live, and I mean die forever. Like, he didn't do that. He gave us the 10 commandments because he's putting us on game. God set structure. God is structure. God is order. God has a purpose and a plan. So he said, if you want to pass this test, I'm gonna give you everything you need to know. How can we know the measurement of what it requires to be holy? How can we know the requirements of holiness? How can we know the requirement of what obedience looks like when it comes to God? Because he could have just said, here you are on this earth. This is all you have. You won't know a thing. And when you do all these bad things, you're going to die. And you're not going to go to heaven. And that's just going to be that. But instead, he said, I'm going to send people my Holy Spirit. I'm going to send people my voice. I'm going to send people these visions. I'm going to give order. I'm going to give instructions. I'm going to give structure so that you know the code to everlasting life. You know what it requires. It's just like a test. Imagine a teacher giving you a test. She didn't teach you anything. She didn't give out the lesson plan. She didn't give you anything to learn. She just said, here's the test, and pass or fail. And God is saying he's not like that. Because he loves you, he's going to give you a test. But before he gives you the test, he's going to tell you everything you need to know about the test. All the tests before, all the tests after, that people failed and people passed. And once you've done all of this, you'll do what is required of the test. You'll pass the test. You won't live to how the people that failed the test. You're going to live correctly and you're going to have eternal life. He loved us so much to give us structure. The structure is not keeping you bound. The structure is not handcuffing you, keeping you tied down. He gives you free will. So whoever says God is a whole bunch of rules, that's wrong. But God is structure. to obedience, to everlasting life. He wants you to have eternal life, so he gives structure to that eternal life. He's putting us on game, as some would say. He's letting you in on tea, okay? He made us in his image to live forever, but when we sin, we bring death and ruin to our body. He loved us enough to make us like him. Y'all, he said in his word, I will make man in my image, in our image, in a heavenly image. He wanted us to be made like him. And that's something that is what you call love. Because if you think about it, if you ever heard of like females saying, oh, I can't put you on game. Like, I forgot what it's called. But when they try to hold like where they got their makeup from, where they got their clothes from. Like, y'all know what I'm trying to say? And it's like, because they don't want somebody to be like them. But God literally said, I'm going to make y'all in my image, in our image, a heavenly image. He's putting us on game. Like, he's like, oh, I want you to be so perfect. I want you to be made holy. I want you to just be the best that you can be. I'm going to make man in our image. And yet we get mad because we're not wanting to live in that. That, I mean, that's to be like God. Like, are we, is that not, that is love. For him to make us to be like him, the creator of this earth. Now, we can never be him. We can never have his place because he is still the maker of all things, okay? But for him, and that's where Satan went wrong, because he thought that he could be God, and we're not doing that. That's not what this is about. This is about being underneath God. But God loved us so much that he still wanted us to, he wanted to look and say, wow. Like, just how people look at their children, be like, wow, this came from me. God is saying, wow, this came from me. That's all he wants to say. He just wants to be proud. But how can he say that if we're running away from our true image? It's not that he wants to keep you bound. It's not that he doesn't want you to know what love is. It's not that he doesn't want you to get what you want. He's saying you can get what you want if you remain in the image that I've called you to be. Because in my image, says the Lord, I speak it and it comes to pass. He wants you to have that image. You got that power and authority because he made you in his image. I don't even think we realize it. But when we walk in sin and we walk in disobedience, God is saying you can no longer have that authority in your mouth because you've stepped out of the image that I've called you to be in. I've called you to walk in. I've called you to talk in. That is why we have so much wisdom and knowledge. Have you ever thought like, oh, I'm such a smart person. Oh, I feel like I know everything. Yeah, you know something. But at the end of the day, God, that's because God made you in his image. God is wise. God has so much wisdom. I mean, wisdom that we can't even understand. Strength. He has strength and power that we can't even understand. So you can never think that you have so much and not know where it came from. The creator that made it. That is love. For him to give it all to you. Not all, because he still carries it. He still has all power, all authority. But for him to place it in you, that is what you call love. For him to look at you and say, I'm going to pour this on you because I want you to be just like me. I want you to be made in my image. And of course, he's a jealous God because you don't understand that. You don't understand where you got all this that you got from. That is what you call love. God basically gives us a cheat sheet on how to be like him in order to live forever. And we take it for granted. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So a mother is only able to love you once she knew that you existed. It took your existence for the people around you to be able to love you. But we serve a God who loved you before you even existed. To love somebody before they existed, I don't think that that's processing in our head. Like, for others to say they love you, like, yes, people say they love you, but that's because after they've seen you, after they've been around you, then they feel like they have gained access to say they love you. But God is saying, I love you before you even knew what love was. I knew you before you was birthed out into this world. I loved you, says the Lord. It did not require you to be in this world for God to love you. It's the simple fact that he loved you enough to bring you into the world. He knew exactly how it affects you later on down. So a lot of times a lot of times we look at God and we say we can't love him fully because maybe he didn't give us something. I'm not saying, like, even sometimes we may not verbally out of our mouth say we don't love God, but our actions show it. When we start slacking in different areas and we start, you know, walking in disobedience and not reading and not talking like we should, but that's when it begins to show that we don't love God like we say we do. And it may be because you didn't get what you wanted, or you didn't, you know, something wasn't said to you that you wanted to be said to you. Whatever that looks like, you were missing out on something. Or you may be battling some with a spirit or something, whatever that looks like for you. But have you ever thought that God took somebody away from you, you know, struggling with death, struggling with pain, with a heartbreak, struggling with those things? Like, did you ever think God took that away from you, that job, because he knew that later on the down the line, it was going to affect you? It was going to affect your mental. So God said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to take it away from you, because I know that I see what you cannot see. Maybe some of you have gone through losing a child, or maybe some of you have gone through not being able to bear a child. But it all comes down to God saying, I know what this is going to look like later on down the line. I know where hurt is going to come in, because I love you. Because your first love loves you, he's going to protect you. He's going to protect something that doesn't even have potential to be protected yet. Let that linger. The relationship that you may have felt was from him, he's going to take that away before it even has potential to be taken away. Because he gives, he takes away. And because he takes away, he can give. So whatever he takes away, he can give back. But if he takes it away, it's more than likely because it wasn't time yet. So if he gave you a child and you lost it, understand that he can give it back to you. But he took away what wasn't once yet so that it can be protected. He was protecting that child. He was protecting you and your feelings. He was protecting that job. Maybe he didn't give you a job because he knew that that job was going to fire you. That job was going to let you go. That job was going to hurt you. That job was going to bring you pain. Whatever. Know that your first love is going to be your first love. He's going to take care of you in the way that first loves do. And we've been carrying titles. Let me go back to that title thing. He never designed for us to be going around on this earth claiming a first love, because why are we claiming a first love as someone who hurt us? Why are we claiming a first love as someone who abused us? Why are we claiming a first love as someone who manipulated us? Why are we claiming a first love as someone who tormented us? Why are we claiming a first love as someone who stopped loving us? Why? We call those things a first love when God is saying he is our first love. He never stopped loving us. He never treated us how man treated us. Yeah, we have the potential. We have the right to call other people and humans our first love, who didn't know us when we were in our mother's womb, who had to be around us to love us, who had to get to know us to love us. But the person who created you, that is what you call your first love. God is saying, I never treated you like that. But you yet put titles on things that don't deserve titles. God is saying, stop putting a title. Stop saying what's your first love when those people did not even know my love. Those people did not even know what love was, yet they showed that to you, and yet you still put that title on them. You're calling basketball your first love. You're calling football your first love. You're calling all these different things your first love. Softball your first love. And God is like, you cry out to that God and that God will not save you. If you cry out to that thing will not save you. You thought love was just what you loved first, but God is saying, I'm your first love. Come back to me. Basketball doesn't owe you your loyalty. Owe you loyalty. Softball doesn't owe you loyalty. That spouse that I gave to you, yes, they owe you loyalty. But when that loyalty runs out due to disobedience, I'm your first love. Those children, they owe you loyalty. Okay, but when those children run out, I'm your first love. God is saying, return back to your first love. Return back to what first loved you. Because what you're worshiping, what we think that we love first, That's not what a first love is. God is our first love. God is our one and true, only first love. We can't put titles on what hurt us. How can we say, how can we call something first? How can we call something our first love that hurt us? God is not hurt. God is not pain. He is not disrespect. He is love. So how can you call something your first love that ends? Love never ends. Sports are gonna end. Money is gonna end. Fame and fortune is gonna end. Acting is gonna end. Wisdom is gonna end. All those different gifts are going to end. But love never ends. But yet we're placing titles on things that are ending and saying that's the first love. No. No, incorrect. God is our first love. And so he lets all these different things happen to us for us to see that he is our first love. Be careful to not know who first loved you. Be careful what you claim before you claim what claims you back. Be careful what you keep your grip on, because once you keep gripping on it, when it grabs hands and grips back on tight to you, it's not gonna let you go. But God is calling for us. He said in his word, for those that can hear, let them hear now. For those that are still living, let them hear now. Because once you're dead, you can no longer hear anymore. That's it. That's it. And God is saying, while you're still breathing, listen now. Come and return back to your first love. The person that first loved you. I have one more scripture. Romans 8:6. It says, if people's thinking is controlled by their sinful self, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. And sometimes the things that have happened was because of disobedience. We brought upon ourselves our own problems due to sin. That was God trying to save us from the pit of hell and trying to get our attention. We take Jesus for granted when in the Old Testament they were dying left and right. But God is literally loving us so much that he's trying to save us. So when bad things happen, y'all, it's not because God doesn't love you. No, it's because he's trying to literally direct you in the path of righteousness. And so when you start going the wrong path, he literally has to push you. That pain that you feel is that push to go the right way, because he wants to save you. He wants to save you from destruction. And then when we go through destruction, we say, oh, it was God. No, it was the devil. The devil's hand was definitely on it. The Lord literally had to allow the devil to place his hand on it, because that's what you wanted. You went that way. You decided, instead of going back to your first love, you decided to go the route of sin. But God is saying, I just want you to return back to me. So that's it that I have for you all today. I really hope y'all enjoyed this first episode back. Y'all, I'm looking forward to consistency. I pray y'all pray my strength in the Lord so I can continue to pour out to y'all, give y'all what the Lord is calling me to give to you all. I love y'all. If y'all ever need anything, I pray that y'all feel the strength and boldness to reach out to me, and we will go through this thing called life together, and we will be poured on together so that we can pour on others. And I'm so excited for what the Lord has in store. But I pray you all enjoyed this episode. I will see y'all in the next one. I love y'all, and y'all be safe and stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Love y'all. See y'all next time. Mwah.